That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Lafondre looking to get Conside of Font. Lafondre away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Elm Park Rolls podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food. Well, it's been a slightly frustrating afternoon, but I still think positive with a 1-1 draw at the City Ground. A late goal there from Yaku Mate. Samba gifting another bunch of points to Reading there. Magnificent goalie, my favourite one in the Championship. I've been joined by Jack Killick. How are you doing, Jack?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, Paul. How are you?
Not too bad. If we hadn't scored a goal there, it would be a totally, totally different podcast. But Alex, how are you doing today?
Not bad, Paul. I'm surprised to hear that Raphael's not your favourite goalkeeper in the Championship, but maybe another one for another day, right?
Maybe. But now I've got to say, that's a good point, but I'm still sticking with Samba. He's the man who keeps on giving to us. And Yaku Mate getting that goal with his comeback after a long time out. But what is he doing with that goal? We don't know. We don't care. But just looking at the game as an overall thing there, Jack, are you feeling positive or more frustrated than today with the result?
I think you have to take the positives, really. The chances that we created were, you know, just an absolute abundance compared to the last couple of games, even though we've won, you know, 3-0 against Sheffield Wednesday and then two victories before that were clean sheets. You can't really say we created anywhere near the amount of chances that we did today. And if Zhao has his shooting boots on and, you know, the chance of Puskas as well, then we would have won that game 3 or 4-1. And it's just one lapse by Richards, which has caused the goal. But overall, I think the team played really well. And I think there's a lot of encouraging signs moving into the next two games before the international break. And if we pick up two wins there, then we put ourselves in a fantastic position. So, yeah, feeling fairly positive. Just really glad that we managed to get the draw, because I think it would have been an absolute robbery if Forest had won that game.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on it, Alex?
Yeah, I tend to agree with Jack. I think it would have been pretty unfair result if Forest had managed to pick up all 3 points. I think I saw a stat going towards the end of the game. We had something like 20 shots in total. 22, I think it was, in total by the end of the game. Which, yeah, it's just a ridiculous amount of shots when you consider in the last 3 games, although we scored 6 goals, 6 or 5 in total, can't remember, but we probably haven't had that many shots in the last 3 games combined, really. It's just one of those days, I think, where your strikers have not been able to convert the chances necessarily. I don't think we've missed a whole heap of, like, glowing chances or anything. Maybe one, perhaps two. But we haven't created 9 or 10 really, really big chances. We've probably only created 1 or 2. But we've had quite a number of half chances where, you know, on another day it could have fallen for us and we could have knocked it in. I think on another day, if Reading had won, you know, 3-1, I don't think there would have been really many complaints.
No, I'm sure. I mean, most probably quite a lot of Forest fans, you know, will be listening to this maybe and thinking they did have opportunities as well. But when we go back to the beginning of the match, there was no changes to the starting lineup. Yaku Mate was on the bench and Lewis Gibson also returned from injury. It's good to see those two players back, and especially it gives us more strength and depth on the bench, doesn't it, Jack? And we desperately need it, as it showed today.
Yeah, of course. And Mate's come on and he's made the difference. And I think that's one thing that Paolo did get right today, his lineup. I thought he had to go with a similar team that played against Sheffield Wednesday, because everyone put in a really good performance there. But you are still thinking in the back of your mind, it was against 10 men. So are they going to put in the same performance against Forest? But yeah, just having those difference makers off the bench, Mate coming on. And then I think also at the right time in the game, Paolo brought on a Luko when we're maybe getting a bit stretched because we had the 3 people up front. So I think credit does have to go to Paolo today in terms of his lineups and making the early substitution to get Mate on. And then, yeah, Luko did give us a bit of a boost near the end there as well. So, yeah, pleased to have those players back. And also, yeah, a bit refreshing to see Paolo actually get his substitutes right today.
We saw quite a promising start to the match there, Alex, didn't we? No massive opportunities early on, but we started absolutely fine.
Yeah, I'd say the first 10 minutes, we were probably on top. We had at least running down right and cut the ball across, and Puskás and Joao both in the area in the right kind of spots, and at least it looked for Joao. And Joao's just really made, you know, he's one step behind the play, unfortunately. You know, there was that, and there was a decent-ish chance, I think, for Forest, but nothing major, to be honest, for the first 10, 15 minutes outside of that cutback. And I think we started more on top, definitely. I don't really think Forest were too in the game up until probably about 15 minutes in or so.
Yeah, I think that's right. It was kind of what we saw today was Lucas Joao and the frustration of him. He did some amazing things today outside of the area. And there was one moment when he went past three or four players, Alex, to create a chance. And he gets away a weak shot. But we should look at what he did before to even get the opportunity as well.
Yeah, I mean, that run is just ridiculous, isn't it? Like, he goes right foot to his left foot, back to his right foot multiple times in that run. He probably beats, what, three or four Forest players from just inside their half. Ends up getting the ball. I think he's probably just inside the area when he takes the shot. And if the shot goes to the left or right of Sander, it's probably 1-0, and we're talking about one of the best goals we've scored this season. But as you said, unfortunately, Joao did a lot right today up until he actually had to take the final shot, and that was where he lacked today. And unfortunately, it meant that all of the good work that he was doing outside the area, it almost just didn't count for anything, because we weren't converting, you know, we weren't converting from the chances that we were able to create.
And you look at the opportunities that he has later in the game, you can see why Matt Joyce tweeted that he screamed out in frustration at the end. But we'll come on to those in a minute. There was a good save from Raphael before halftime, and a good flick there from Glenn Murray. And you think if he scores today, that would really be a sickener. But you think he should have saved it and caught it there, Jack? I mean, I think that's a bit harsh, because Lansley, who's on the podcast, is normally battering Raphael. But you think he should have even caught that opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, Murray's got the bit of space. We know that he's not going to be sort of running in behind, stretching the defence. But as soon as they get those crosses in from the byline, he's great at finding those little pockets of space, isn't he? And I mean, he's flicked it. It's a good flick, but I don't think it's too far away from Raphael. And a better goalie, you know, Emi Martinez for me catches that. I know that maybe it's a bit unfair to hold Raphael to those sorts of standards, but you know, if Moore isn't, you know, as alive to it as he is, and Murray is a bit closer, then potentially he gets that. But yeah, it was still a good save. Just maybe me nitpicking a bit on that point.
No, I understand that. Yeah, if you compare it to Martinez, yeah, Martinez would have probably saved it, set up a kind of like counter attack as well in one move. Man, he's just becoming a mythical figure now, isn't he? But we did have some more opportunities. So many balls across the box today, Alex, that we just didn't quite get there at the right moment. And there weren't bad delivery from Puskás, from Elise. It wasn't poor kind of like assist. It's just our strikers didn't quite work today.
It just never really fell to us in the box, did it? I mean, even though we've had 22 shots, like I said right at the beginning, it doesn't feel like we had like many golden opportunities where we found the ball 7 yards out from a cross or something like that. And the crosses generally off, like, you know, along the ground from both Elise, Puskás, I think Yeardom had one as well. They weren't bad crosses. They were dangerous, but we just didn't manage to quite find the right movement in the box. Is that a case of maybe, you know, Joao and Puskás playing together and it just being kind of a partnership thing, not necessarily understanding the runs that each other are quite going to make yet? Is it just a case of them having an off day, you know? We're not really sure, but if you put those balls into the box for the rest of the season, we'll win more games than we lose. I think there's, you know, I'm overall, like, looking at the way we played going forwards, I don't think we played badly. It's, you know, just things didn't quite click when we got to the penalty area.
Yeah, we've got to talk about the chance for Lucas Joao that happened not long before halftime, Jack, from the corner. It's a beautifully worked corner by Elise, passes to Tom McIntyre, flicks it back for Lucas Joao, who's in quite a lot of space. And what happens from here, Jack? I can't understand how he's missed this.
Well, it bubbles horribly, but I mean, you'd put your house on Zhao scoring from there. Some of the chances that he's put away this season, and you know, even if he just like gets a, you know, a pass on it, he didn't even need that much power. It was a very, very strange chance. Everyone just seemed to stand still. Samba went to dive, get stuck on the ground, and you know, the thing is, even though he didn't score, I like the invention from Reading. So many times we've just, you know, either been smacking it and it's headed away by the guy at the front stick. It's good to see us try something different and, you know, catch him off guard. And it's just unfortunate. But, I mean, bobble or not, he should score there.
I'm very confused as to why Samba was diving, because he was going completely away from the ball. I'm not sure where he was going. Yeah. He must have, like, tried to preempt the way that Zhao was going to hit it or something. I'm really not sure. I agree with Jack. It's really nice to see Reading being inventive this season at set pieces. For so many teams in all leagues are content and happy basically to try and just get a header on it and you know, make that work. And I think multiple times this year we've seen set pieces, both free kicks and corners, where we've done something a little bit different to try and draw players out and make space for one of our players who's in a better position to score. And McIntyre seems to be kind of one of the players who's like really been quite key on those set pieces. Obviously, he had the flick today for Zhao's chance. He scored from the corner earlier in the season when he had the flick. And I think he's had two or three similar chances as well from corners. I think he's a real threat at set pieces, whether you're utilising him to actually, you know, take a chance or whether he's there just to try and create a chance for someone else.
Yeah, we look at that first half as well. Nottingham Forest did have a great opportunity from Joe Lolly as well, who also went off injured not long afterwards. But so much space there on the edge of the box. Defensively, we weren't at our best today at some points. And I don't think there was a worse example of it when Nottingham Forest scored their first goal, their only goal, in the 49th minute of the game. Omar Richards kind of gets bullied there, doesn't he, Jack?
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to find with this formation, really. With not having that winger to come back and help, the wing-backs are going to get quite isolated. And that was probably where Nottingham Forest were getting their most of their joy today. And they're the sort of team that likes, you know, crossing it in, getting balls into the box. So I think we did quite well to contain them for a lot of the time. But yeah, first of all, that Lolly chance, I thought that was in. So yeah, you know, not that you ever want to see a player get injured, but he was threatening us, so I was quite glad to see him go off. But yeah, Richards, I think he just about misses it, and then he just gets too close to him. I think he needs to just stand Amiobi up and kind of just shield him towards the, you know, away from the goal towards the byline. But he just gets too close to him. Amiobi, you know, he's a big guy. He just shoves Richards off, and yeah, across the box. And unfortunately, an own goal for Tom Holmes, but he has to try and, you know, get something on it there, because if he doesn't, then Murray scores. So I don't think you can really blame Holmes for the own goal.
I think there's a part of Richard's game is reliant on his pace as well. And in this formation, as you say, Jack, he's kind of left on his own. We don't have that double pivot, so you don't see Josh Lauren or Semedo really able to kind of track back and help him, particularly at left back or, you know, Yeard of a right back, because McIntyre is the one who's sitting in that like diamond formation. Whereas when we're playing the 4-3-1, you've got more options for both Ajaria to drop back on the left or Mate to drop back on the right. And you've got the double pivot who will both drop back in to play the wing-back roles when you've got Yeard or Richards going forwards. And I think that we've tried to kind of take the strengths of that 4-2-3-1 going forwards, but not necessarily kind of adapted that, yeah, we're going to have other weaknesses all of a sudden at the back. And I think Richards has just been caught out when he's gone forwards pretty much, and he's relied on his pace. And actually, you know, most of the time that is going to work, but sometimes if he gets the ball second, he's going to be out-muscled by, you know, stronger, bigger wingers. And, you know, that was the case in this scenario with Amiobi. And once Amiobi's passed him, it's practically a tap-in, isn't it, by the time Holmes actually gets a touch on it.
Yeah, I'm sure Omar Richards will learn from that situation. He's a player who's adapted quickly. But one thing, Panovic is definitely not happy after the match. He says it felt like his team had lost in the 1-0 match, that we wasted the first 35 minutes, I think we did control the game. Everything was about us, but you have to take advantage of that. We can't feel good about being comfortable on the field. In the second half, it was the right spirit and the right way to play. So he's not happy at all, as you'd expect the manager to be there, Jack. I mean, that's what you want to see, though, isn't it? A manager kind of like, you don't want him to come out of there and afterwards and say, oh, we've got the point, we take that, we move on. You want him to say he's unhappy about losing the record for conceding goals.
Definitely, and I think it shows the ambition of Paunovic. And I mean, on the full-time whistle as well, all the players looked very disappointed. And, you know, with an equaliser so late in the game, regardless of where you are on the table, you know, you forgive them for, you know, just being pleased with that result. But I do think it is great that they are still so hungry after that. And I think we were saying beforehand, I mean, if they take that performance and they bring in that sort of that extra motivation that they sort of had from not getting the 3 points today, I really think we can go on and beat Birmingham during the week and, you know, put in a really good performance against QPR as well. So I think take the positives from the performance and the sheer amount of chances created. And if we, you know, get the players doing shooting drills in training the next couple of days, and hopefully we can pick up 6 points before the international break and put ourselves in a really good position.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you look at the opportunity that we had just after the goal from Nottingham Forest. George Puskas is through on goal. I'm pretty sure it was Josh Lauren who played him through. Has the pitch killed him again there, Alex, or is it a poor miss?
I think, you know, I think it's being a bit kind, really, to say that the pitch has hurt him there. I think he's probably just thought too much about what he's going to do. And instead of kind of just putting his foot through it, I think he's, you know, he's taken too long to kind of consider his options almost before actually taking the shot. And it's not a very good shot, is it? Let's be honest. Realistically, if he hit the target there, you know, and Tambra made a decent save, it would have been disappointing. But to not hit the target there, in especially after you've just gone 1-0 down and you've given yourself a great opportunity to get straight back into the game, to put it just way over the bar is it's just bad composure. More than anything, I think he's kind of just given himself too long to think about what he's going to do and just panicked, basically.
Yeah, I think that's what's happened there. There was also a big moment for Raphael when he makes a really good save, I think, from Amiobi, which if it had gone to 2-0, Jack, I can't see us getting back in that one today.
Yeah, it was a fantastic save, and the Forest commentators were even saying that, you know, they thought it was an absolutely brilliant save from Raphael. And I think the game just got a bit stretched at that point because we had Puskas, Mate and Zhao on the pitch, and obviously we took off Semedo, kept in McIntyre. So we had a bit of a gap, and Forest were able to find that space. So yeah, it was a really fantastic save from Raphael. And then, like I say, I think it was a smart move from Paolo to bring on Aluko to try and potentially close that gap, because there were sort of opportunities he's opening up for Forest. So yeah, great for him to keep us in it. And yeah, he did play, even though I said he should have caught it, I do think Raphael did play well today.
Yeah, I think he did as well. We had kind of like, at the moment when Andy Yidam hits the post there, Alex, I thought this is definitely not going to be hard time today, is it? Because if it just moves a couple of inches across, that goes off the post and in. But I think Yadam was fantastic today. I think he's now getting back to his best as well.
Yeah, I think since he's come back from injury, I think he's been one of our, you know, top two or three performers in every single match. He's getting up and down the line. At one point, he made like an 80-yard run before putting a cross in. And, you know, it took him 5 or 6 seconds of being out of breath, and he looked like he could just do it again. He's got such an engine on him. And, you know, There was a comment we had at half time, which was around crossing and it needs work. And I think when you've got a player who's playing at right back, who's very good defensively by all standards, you know, I don't really think we can be. I wouldn't criticise him too much, because going forwards he offers us so much. We really just have so much more width with him in the team than we do with, say, Tom Holmes at right back.
Yeah, no, I totally agree on that. But thankfully, we did manage to get an equaliser in the 81st minute from Yaku Mate. A lovely touch there from Lucas Joe. Passes it on to Mate. But, I mean, it's a good shot. It's a powerful shot. But Samba, I've no idea what he's doing there again. And he just hates playing against us. I love him, as I said at the start of the podcast. Absolutely love the guy. He's fantastic, Brett. But, oh, the relief when that goal went in, Jack, that was immense, wasn't it?
Yeah, as you were saying earlier, when your idol hits the post, you just think, well, today it's just not going to happen, is it? And yeah, I don't think I've celebrated, even though we've scored winners in other games, I don't think I've celebrated a goal like that as much for a while, because it's just the sheer frustration, because Reading really deserved, it would have been a robbery if Forest had won today. But yeah, Mate coming back into the team, those runs that you make sort of across from the right, moving into the centre, just brilliant. And even though Zhao did miss a lot of chances, I think it was him who laid the ball through to him. And yeah, it was a great shot from Mate, but I think Samba had blue and white hoops on under his shirt, because that was shocking. I don't know what he was doing there. He's almost like just going towards him. He's just like jumped out the way of it. So yeah, I would be happy to play against sort of Samba and goal for the opposition every week.
I can only imagine that Samba was watching on iFollow and he's just got the angle wrong or something.
Yeah, that would be iFollow is the beast that kills us all on these games. The amount of times it just comes back from a replay and you're like, oh, the ball's completely at the other end of the pitch. We'll never know what happened in those 10 seconds of play. But Jakub Mate being back, Alex, you've called him the Jenga piece. I think he is such a key figure and it's going to be great to have him available now.
Yeah, he's critical. Like I as good as Lucas Shaw has been this season, as fantastic as Morrison has been at the back, I think Lucas Shaw is I think Mate is the piece which this team kind of hinges around, because it allows you to play the style of football that is the most successful for us. And we don't have a suitable replacement. We don't have another Jakub Mate. However we want to look, however we try other players in that position, we don't have another player like him. And having him back in the team is just going to be, I think, massive for the rest of the season, because it just allows us to be able to play the style of football that I think we want to play. And it gives you that strength, being able to push, either a push gas or an Ajaria onto the bench and start Mate with Zhao. And we all saw how promising that looked at the start of the season. And I think, yeah, just having him back is brilliant for the squad and great for us as fans.
Yeah, you just look at all the players that we've got out injured still. We could have Morrison, Rinomoto, Swift, Ijaria. I mean, those are key players. And the fact that we're still four matches unbeaten at different points, they've gone out. But you want to see those players back in the team at some point. The long shot seems to be Swift on that. But I think we still had chances in this game today to win it. We have free kicks late on. That Michael Elise on these set pieces on free kicks just outside the area. Now, we all get excited when he's walking up to them, Jack, don't we? But how many times has he got them on target? I love Elise. This is not a thing, but he needs to work on that area of his game, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And yeah, those build up for the free kicks, you're thinking, right, come on, what's going to happen here? And it's either, it's over, or it's, I think Mate's one was, a fairly easy save for the goalkeeper. And
on target,
on target. I think Matt said on the watch along that, if you have Swift there, that is Swift range. And he would get one of those on target, and at least, I know Mate did, but sort of he would work the goalkeeper a lot more. So yeah, unfortunately he won't be back for a while, like you say. But I think, yeah, having Mate back and actually giving Paolo some like positive kind of selection headaches of who he's going to put in the team, rather than thinking, okay, well, where am I going to shift this player, or who's going to suddenly come in from the academy to potentially fill the bench or come on as a sub. It's great to have options, and be interesting to see what Paunovic does now, really. If he sticks with, maybe he doesn't want to force Mate back, because we've said that, players played well today and Birmingham, aren't fantastic. So do you want to rush Mate back into the starting 11, or do you want to continue to ease him in? Because I'm not sure you can really start with Zhao, Puskas and Mate all at once. I mean, it worked for a period today, but you can't start games like that. So it'll be interesting to see what combination Paolo decides to go with, and if he does try and fit all three of them into the team at once.
Looking at Paunovic's comments after the match, it doesn't look like any of the injured players will be back available for the game against Tuesday. So, I don't know. Would you think Mate come back into the starting lineup there, Alex?
I think if Mate comes back into the starting lineup, then I think you have to firstly probably drop Puskás. But then if you, it's difficult to say. I think if you bring Mate in, I think you have to go back to 4-2-3-1, dropping Puskás, and then you have to find someone to play out on the left as well. And it feels like the only player really who we've got who can play out on the left currently is probably Aluko. So I feel like if you're going to bring Mate in, you have to bring Aluko in, because otherwise we end up playing very, very narrow. And we saw for that, I don't know, 15 minutes or so, we didn't really create anything before Aluko came on. So I don't know. I would like him to start, but it's just whether Paunovic can make it work.
Yeah. I think we'll find a way somehow. We're still getting chances throughout the second half, won't we? And Lucas Jow had one right at the end when he had a shot that was hit the Forest defender on another day that just goes through their legs and you get a goal. But that summed it up for him. I mean, he even had a header in the second half, didn't he? Which I think he's got to get that on target, Jack. But let's look at this game today. Is that 1 point gained or 2 points dropped for you?
I think if we win the next two games, it's 1 point gained. But then if we drop points against Birmingham or against QPR, it's probably 2 points dropped. But I think in terms of how far in we were into the game that was still 1-0 down, I would probably say 1 point gained. And then you look at Cardiff and Bournemouth losing today, we have still gained ground on them. So I think there's definitely positives. So yeah, I'm going to sit on the fence a little bit with that one.
That is a cop-out answer, if I've ever heard one. I'm going to say 1 point gained. Just from the way the results have fallen for us today. Bournemouth lost. Watford scored in the last minute against Cardiff. They lost. We gained 1 point on teams outside of us in the playoffs. And, you know, isn't that all that really matters at this point of the season? Just keeping that gap as big as it is. I think, you know, yes, we would have all loved to win, but realistically, winning, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 games in a row when we're not top of the table, we're fifth. It's unrealistic to expect us to win every game. So another game unbeaten, and I think, you know, look forward to Tuesday night against Birmingham instead.
Yeah, totally. I have to disagree with the Paunovic. That doesn't feel like a loss to me. For me, that feels like a big point gained, because it felt like we weren't going to score today, and we've kept going, and it's a game we didn't go on to win after going behind, but we haven't lost it. Well, I think that's a big factor with this team. We need to keep that mentality right, but we have Wednesday at Birmingham City. We are playing. What is your prediction for that match, Jack? Are we going to get back on winning track?
I think we will, especially as they lost 3-0 to Bristol City at home today, and they have looked... But I mean, Birmingham have looked absolutely shocking this season. So I definitely think we'll get back to winning ways. And I think I'll go for 2-0 victory, bit more comfortable than perhaps against previous weeks. So I think from the showing today, I think we'll manage to actually get that second goal. You think it'll be comfortable, but you never know. But yeah, I do think we'll win.
We need to sort out those splinters, Jack. We need to sort them out. It's kind of like, what are you going to go for then, Alex?
I'm going to go 2-0 Reading, maybe 3-0. No, 2-0. I'll go 2-0 Reading. I don't think Birmingham are particularly good. Let's be honest, if we don't beat Birmingham, people are going to be very disappointed. So I think 2-0, and we'll get two goals early on and then kind of just shut up shop and take 3 points.
Yeah, I'm going to say that we're going to win 2-0, and I'm going to say that Lucas Jow is definitely going to score. I think after that, it's just coming. It is coming. And I'm going to say he's going to get both the goals. So
will one of them be a penalty, Paul?
No. One of them will not be a penalty. No, very, very unlikely. So cheers. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll be back with a preview for the Birmingham City match. And we'll have a podcast after the game. And we'll be doing a watch along of the Birmingham City match. We got a lot of content coming your way. So cheers.